The choice to have a child at 33 years old was problematic. This is called learning faith and patience again. I knew who I was, and as an artist, had developed the faith and discipline to resolve problems in my work. In my personal relations, I had begun to learn not to take everything personally. I was finally growing up. Most of the artists around me had decided not to have children, preferring a life where they had what they called their, quote, art babies, always inferring that you couldn't have both. I worried that I might regret sabotaging my career with a child. So throwing myself into the unknown of motherhood was exciting and frightening. I figured I could lean on what I knew about life to help me, but little human beings, I soon learned, are on their own growth trajectory, often rewarding you with success as a parent, but just as often leaving you helpless, stupid, and incompetent. You experience hope, anger, fear, sacrifice, sadness, failure, and selfless love to a degree you never knew. I had no idea I would look back at these times of flailing around with the occasional aha moment when I actually knew what to do as wonderful times, times that would test my limits and fill me with more love than I ever imagined existed. My artistic expression expanded as well, being the perfect receptacle for this overflow of discovery and love. I probably leaned on my son too much, being a divorced single mother, but here again, there is no manual, only instinct to go on. There are ups and downs, and I remember saying to him on the way home from church one Sunday when he was about 12 that I was sorry to be so emotionally up and down sometimes, and he replied, "That's okay, Mom. It helped me to know what you needed." Fast forward to Mother's Day 2021. He was now 37. We had only checked in every few months since he was on his own, but always on birthdays, Mother's Day, and Christmas. The isolation of the pandemic plus him being in a relationship caused me to feel slighted when I got no phone call. In fact, I had not heard from him in over 6 months, and emails were also going unanswered. I finally learned from his girlfriend that he was seeing a therapist and that he was going through some things and would be in touch soon. I struggled with having to go through her, as you can imagine, and kept worrying that maybe I was the problem, hoping throughout the day that he might still be in touch and I would feel that customary affection between us that we had always shared. By bedtime, I resigned myself to feeling sad and started to bed. At the last minute, I made the nightly check of Facebook, of course, and there was a message. It was him, and he sang me this song.
Well, the sun is surely sinking down, but the moon is slowly rising. This old world must still be spinning round, and I still love you. So close your eyes, you close your eyes, it's alright. I don't know no love songs, I can't sing the blues anymore, but I can sing this song, then you can sing this song when I'm gone. Won't be long for another day, and we're gonna have a good time. No one's gonna take that time away. Stay as long as you like. So close your eyes. You can close your eyes, it's alright. I don't know no love songs, I can't sing the blues anymore, but I can sing this song. And you can sing this song when I'm gone. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Hope you're having a good one. Love you.
Children have way too much power. Thank you for sharing that. What is sacred? That was the inspiration for the service today. Spoiler alert, the answer is everything. Okay, not everything, not everything. But maybe more than we automatically imagine. And maybe if we attended to the hard and messy and painful parts of our lives with the same reverence we give to the good and calm and successful parts, we'd find peace in recognizing just how sacred simply living this process we call life is, how sacred it is to try and fail, or to try knowing you'll never know if you succeeded. When Elizabeth Gilbert said, "What you produce isn't always sacred. What is sacred is the time you spend working on the project and what that time does to expand your imagination and what that expanded imagination does to transform your life." And that resonated with me because the project could be anything with this view, right? There's no such thing as wasted time, no matter how it all turns out. For instance, we do not mother, and I think all of us can mother, by the way, it's genderless in some respects. We do not mother so that we create the perfect human. We do not mother so someone will take care of us in our old age. We do not mother so that we have something to distract us from our own lives. We do not mother to boast or brag or compare or judge. Even though all of those things happen, even though we might all believe them at one point or another, we do not mother so that someone will sing us such a beautiful song on Mother's Day. The song in Marcia's story, the happy and poignant ending to that long day of sadness and waiting, is no more sacred than the process that her son was in for his own healing and the struggle and the heartbreak that Marcia was in as she witnessed not knowing as she held steady and waited. Even if the day had ended, and I didn't check with Marcia first before I said this, so she might disagree with me and that's okay. Even if the day had ended with no word from him, the time spent in the pain of it all, the time spent attending to that love that felt so distant and uncertain, that time spent changes us, teaches us, grows us. It is sacred too, if we let it be and if we use it. And I think imagination is another way to help make that happen, to let the hardest moments in our world and in our life be truly sacred. It takes imagination. It takes the ability to envision how it could be, of what it might mean, of how it will work. It's brave. It's very brave to allow seemingly unreachable possibilities into our hearts where there appears to be very little evidence that anything will be the fix that we so desperately want. The poet Andrea Gibson from Calais, Maine wrote, "Imagination isn't an escape. It's an act of liberation. A door flung open to something wildly new. The freer we become inside ourselves, the freer our world will be." I recently came across the word vahavta. It's a Hebrew phrase that means you shall love. You shall love. Aurora Levins Morales wrote a little piece about vahavta. She said this, "Say these words when you lie down and when you rise up, when you go out and when you return, in times of mourning and in times of joy. Inscribe them on your doorposts, Embroider them on your garments, tattoo them on your shoulders, teach them to your children, your neighbors, your enemies. Recite them in your sleep, here in the cruel shadow of empire. Another world is possible. Another world is possible. She goes on to write more, and the following is a mix of her phrases and mine. I'll happily tease it out for you if you're curious later. Another world is possible. So imagine we are creating it together right now. That is your sacred task. Imagine we are creating it together right now. That is your sacred task, and this is our power. Imagine the exact smell of the summer streets in which no one has been shot. Imagine the muscles you have clenched from worry for years now suddenly go soft. Imagine the sparkling taste of food when we know that no one on the earth is hungry. And the children who suck on stones nest under a flock of roofs that keep multiplying their shelter. Lean in with all your being towards that day when the poor of the world shake down a rain of good fortune out of the heavy clouds and justice rolls down like waters. Imagine the world we are creating as if it were your child. It is your child. Imagine it as if it were your lover. It is your lover and your best friend. When you inhale and when you exhale, breathe the possibility of a loving world into the 37.2 trillion cells of your body until it shines with hope. Then imagine more. May it be so, and amen.